Let's pray for Andrew as he comes to speak to us. Lord Jesus, you were, you are, and you always will be. Speak to us this morning as we open our hearts and as Andrew opens the Bible to us. Fill him with your words and with your encouragement and with you this morning. Give us ears to listen and hands and feet ready to do. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. It's good, isn't it? God speaking already and worship and those words are so, so helpful for us. A friend was telling this story just recently about the time when he went on pilgrimage. It was the 200-mile Camino Primitivo, which is the original route across the mountains in Spain. A really challenging hike, and yet it was a pilgrimage. So then the point of the pilgrimage is what he said, a journey with God in search of God. And people who do pilgrimage, that's the goal. But sadly for him, he just heard some really difficult news before heading off to undertake this journey. So he said his prayers, the first few days, they were full of disappointment, of sorrow. And he got fed up with his prayers being full of complaint and lament. And so he found himself saying to God something like this. He said, I long to hear from you, but I don't know what else to pray. That's where he got to. And eventually he decided that he would pray the Lord's Prayer. And so the following day, he opened up the app that gives you bits to do with the journey, but there's some devotional section. And do you know what he read as he opened the devotional section? That day's reading had the words, the Lord's Prayer is the best prayer for every pilgrim to pray. And that sealed it for him. His journey with God in search of God had a fresh and a fruitful focus. And we began a series last Sunday where we're looking at each of the phrases contained within the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, which we call the Lord's Prayer. He expected those who followed him to pray. So he'd said, when you pray, so yeah, we know you're going to. But he also said, this is how you can do it. This is how you should pray. So when you're not sure what to pray, or you're really struggling with prayer, or you know, the Lord's Prayer is a great place to go. These are words that Jesus gifted to his followers. They're still as simple and as powerful today. We said last week, it's a prayer that we learn by heart and then recite. And yet it's also a prayer that shapes our hearts. Indeed, as we pray it regularly, it shapes how we live, our mindset, our outlook. It really is the best prayer for anyone on pilgrimage, on a journey with God and in search of God in life. And so, I'm going to read from a few bits and pieces. We're just going to do the first few verses because we'll come to other verses later. If you've got the Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app on your phone, and you like to follow through, you can go through to your profile, events, and if your location's on, you'll find the Christchurch bit there. Matthew 6, 9 and 10. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's what we focused on last week. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We start connecting with God. That's the beginning, isn't it? Point. You talk directly to God. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will. It's us talking to God, me, individuals talking to God, and it's our Father, so we're doing it together as well. We align our hearts and our minds with him as we speak to him. Your kingdom come. It's what matters to you. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our needs, well, they're really important. They're so important, Jesus gives us words to express our needs, and we'll come to those in a couple of weeks' time after we've celebrated Pentecost next week. But the starting point in our prayers is God himself, his name, his kingdom, his will. You, God, yours. And what does it mean? This is what we're going to do. What does it mean to pray this? How do we weave our own prayers around the words that Jesus gives us? And what are the implications then for how we live and act today? So we're going to dig in and see. I've called it heaven on earth type praying. And it means sensing that deep unease, how things are, yet buoyant hope. I'll explain that more in a second. It means praying with longing and authority. And that leads to living for the sake of God's kingdom, embracing his will in our lives. So let's do the first. Sense that deep unease, yet buoyant hope. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We're dealing with both these two bits together because they're so closely connected. Jesus was steeped in the Hebrew culture and the song lyrics in the Psalms that were his prayer book, like Psalm 63, verse 1 that we looked at the start. They often use this idea of parallelism. It's hard to say, but it's easy to understand. It's just two ideas, two phrases that repeat much the same idea, but the second phrase perhaps extends or underlines something or gives us greater understanding than the first of the two. So your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is this idea. It reflects that parallelism. Distinct ideas, yet intricately linked. And what does it mean to pray this? Some of you will be taking part in the Thy Kingdom Come prayer initiative that started on Thursday, the day when the church remembers that Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father in heaven, the place of all power and authority where he lives forever, the Bible tells us, to pray for you, to pray for me. That's amazing. Highest place of power. And it finishes on Pentecost next Sunday. And it's been running for 11 years now, encouraging Christians from different church streams across the UK and beyond to pray these words, and the very words we got today, your kingdom come. So that's great. And actually, if you remember the piece of string from a few weeks back with five knots in it and five friends, and you've been asking God, who are you praying for? And you've been praying for them. If you want a fresh way of praying for them every day, then just download the app or get the emails and you can sign up and pray for them each day to come to know Christ. And there's a fresh way. Anyway, one of the early years featured an interview between the then Archbishop of Canterbury with the then Catholic Archbishop of Westminster, Cardinal Vincent Nicholls. And he was asked, well, what does it mean to you when you're praying, your kingdom come? And his response did something deep within me. And so I'm going to share it with you now because it's stayed with me ever since. So just watch this short video as we reflect on what it means to pray, your kingdom come.
I think I sense in my own mind both the deep unease at how things are and a firm and sometimes, some days, buoyant hope that they will be transformed. So it's a prayer of longing, and therefore it has its elements of contrition in it.
Oh, that's fascinating.
But it's also a prayer of hope, a prayer of trust in the promise that all things in Christ will be rendered good and whole and given to the Father.
All things in Christ rendered good and whole. Your kingdom come a deep cry of unease at how things are, and yet involves a firm, buoyant hope that they will be changed, transformed. You know, God's goodness breaking in. I find it really powerful, and I hope you do too. Deep unease when God's kingdom values are not present, and we sense that in different situations, or when God's will just isn't happening, and yet a hopeful anticipation that the kingdom will come. What God desires will be done perfectly on earth as it is in heaven. That's an ultimate prayer, but within certain situations within life, when we sense what's not right and that deep unease. Now, I've talked about the kingdom, I've talked about God's will. By God's kingdom, we're thinking about not a geographical area, but it is God's rule and reign in operation in life. Jesus came as the king of the kingdom, a king like no other. They could hardly recognize him as such. He would pray for the kingdom. He announced its nearness. He taught about the kingdom. He lived it. When we talk about God's will, the scriptures tell us it's good, perfect, and pleasing in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. That's what God wants and desires, good, perfect, and pleasing. And we can know that will. We can discern it as God renews our minds and our thinking by his presence in our lives. So when God's will is done and his kingdom come, what does that look like? Well, you find people are discovering a right relationship with God, right relationships with others, and with the world that God has made. And so there's justice, yes. There's wholeness, yes. There's a righting of wrongs, yes. When we see God's kingdom and God's will, there's peace, there's freedom, there's truth. I love truth. There's joy. There's light. God's joy. God's light. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the cry. What does that last bit mean? I'm just going to try and think about that for just a few moments. I've got a couple of hoops with me. The late John Wimber used to have services in a gym, a sports gym, and so he had gym mats to try and illustrate something like this. Other people like Venn diagrams, which I quite like, because I'm a mathematician by background. A guy called Andy Tuck used two hoops, and I thought that was inspired. Let this be earth, blue, because when you look at it, most of it's the sea, isn't it? Okay, our physical environment, let this be heaven. Is that right? You with me so far? Okay, heaven is where God is. Now, we're familiar with the earth bit, because we live here, don't we? We're familiar with that. Earth is amazing and beautiful in so many ways. Do you notice that? Do you come across that? It really is, and yet we know it's also full of mess and hardship, suffering, sickness, dying. Heaven, we know a little bit about it from the Bible. Most of it's through pictures and images given to help us try and understand something of this mystery of what it's like and what is to be. That is almost beyond words. Still a mystery in many ways, yet we do know it's a place where God is. God dwells in his perfect holiness and glory, where God is the light. So we've got two spaces, earth and heaven. They're different in nature, but in God, they are destined to be united together forever. That's the Christian hope. The day when God will purge earth of all sin, of all that's wrong, all evil, all dying. A new recreated heaven and earth descending. The book of Revelation tells us that the dwelling place of God will forever be with his people. He will be our light. And so, when Jesus came to earth as a frail, as a frail baby, heaven broke in to the space we call earth. And those of us who've responded to Jesus' invitation to live in him, we live in that same intersection of heaven and earth. In other words, we're living in earth. We know the deep unease at anything that's not right, not fair, not true by God's standards. A deep sense of illness, conflict, oppression, they're not part of God's intention for this world. And yet, we have this buoyant hope that the God who has, invited us into life, that he is going to get involved in this world. Heaven will break in and he will right wrongs. He'll transform people, situations in the world, that it might be as it is on earth, as it is in heaven. And so, we look forward to that day when one day it's going to be fully there. And so, our role as we pray these words is to align our prayers with God's values and desires. And it means raising heaven on earth prayers to our Father in heaven as we experience the deep unease and yet also anticipate the time when a renewed heaven and earth will forever be united because of Jesus. We look forward to that and we pray for that inbreaking into our world. How do we pray? Well, we pray with longing and authority. We've got a picture we're carrying through this series on the Lord's Prayer of a garden trellis, a framework that you might put in your garden so that a climbing plant can make its way up and grow, and it's a guide for that plant as it grows. And the words of Jesus that he gave us to pray, we can pray them just as they are. And they're powerful in themselves, phrase by phrase, stopping and dwelling. But what we find is, it's also like a guide, a framework, a trellis for us to weave our own prayers. As we pray this prayer, other prayers come and we weave them around this. So you'll get it because the God's Spirit at work within you and you're reading God's Word and that's in you. And so suddenly you have a prompt and you notice you have an unease. A longing for something that's wrong by God's standards to be righted. And you take notice. And you take notice when just a seed, a mustard seed of faith, sees that change is possible. God wants to break in and do something, and he's got the power to do that. You notice these moments and you turn it to prayer. Turn that longing to prayer. Oh, Father in heaven, your kingdom come. Your will be done. Let me give a few different examples and we'll come to some prayer after we finish the sermon. But you come across people isolated and lonely as they age and you're prompted, that's not how it needs to be. And you turn it to prayer. People sick, people stuck in grief, people suffering the pain of broken relationships. That's not of heaven. Something within cries and so you pray, oh Father in heaven, your kingdom come. Your will be done. You see a news item about extreme poverty in an undeveloped part of the world or a neighborhood of a nearby town. And that deep unease kicks in. It's not of heaven. It's not how it's supposed to be. And yet there's this hope that God can bring change. Oh God, oh Father in heaven, your kingdom come. Your will be done. You see, we pray with longing on authority. You see, people living life separated from the God who made them and loves them. You know, they're too busy serving things, other things in God's place when we were created to know and love and serve God. This could be the five friends you're praying for at the moment. And you pray for the income of heaven in their lives. Pray that they'll come to seek Christ for themselves. They'll seek and find him and submit their lives to his way and find life. When someone's mistreated or misrepresented because of their race or their social status, something of the word and the spirit in you cry, not right. Acts of anti-Semitism, not of heaven. There are better ways to live and relate and engage. There's a kind of nationalism that wants to take the name of Christ. Some elements of that are far right. And something within, there's a deep unease. And sometimes it's because people are longing for something. They just don't know what it is and need people to come alongside them. And so on. But our longing becomes a prayer. There's uncertainty about political challenges and changes. We're in that right now, aren't we? And ever since Brexit, it seems like we've had a succession of changes. There's something in our culture that's shifted and so on. And we want what's right by God, and we want God's kingdom values to somehow break through in all this. And as we pray for those in authority over us, as we're told to, like, oh, Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done. I could keep going on, you know. Jeff Lucas, in his book on the Lord's Prayer, he called it How Not to Pray, which I thought was very stimulating. But he says this really simple thing. We are blessed, Christ followers are blessed with the authority to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. If it's something to do with the inbreaking of God, you can pray it with authority. Jesus gave us this prayer to pray. And we can pray it in his name, which means on his behalf, with his authority, and for his glory. And we pray for that ultimate coming, that ultimate renewal of all things, the cleansed, renewed heaven and earth, united for all eternity in Christ, God present, no more tears, no more crying, no more sin, no more dying, no more sickness and so on. We should pray for that. And include that in our prayers, in God's timing. Oh, Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done. So myriad things in life where maybe the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the prompt within. God prompts us and he empowers us to pray. And so we're just alert to that whisper of the Spirit, ready to pray with longing and God-given, Christ-given authority. Finally, you know, if you regularly pray, it starts to change your outlook. And if your outlook's changed, then your life changes. And so that's true when it comes to God's kingdom values and his will. And it touches our priorities. And we want those in every part, in our emotions, in our desires, in our thoughts, in our commitments that we make and so on. Jesus spoke on a couple of occasions about what it is to live your life for the sake of the kingdom. That was a phrase he used, for the sake of the kingdom. You know, and I'm praying for God's kingdom to come, for his will to be done. Then I find myself wanting to do things which point to God's rule and reign. God's good, perfect, and pleasing will at work on heaven. And I want people to discover that now. I want to live for the sake of God's kingdom in what I'm doing. In both cases, in Matthew chapter 19 and in Luke chapter 18, when he talks about living for the sake of the kingdom, there's a sacrifice involved, a leaving behind maybe of an ambition or a potential relationship in service of Jesus as king. The motivation we have, it's for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of the king, and you'll be prepared to yield your life in one way or another for the sake of the kingdom. And you find yourself acting. Maybe you find yourself acting justice for the oppressed, or it's hope for the poor, good news for those who are far from God. Maybe it's to do with medical basics or other basics of life and getting those to people who don't have them. Maybe it's bringing peace for those who live in strife. You know, praying God's kingdom means you want to live for the sake of the kingdom to bring those sort of things into reality. Whether it's your working hours or your time outside of work, as a nurse, as an IT programmer, as an Uber driver, as a shop assistant, as a pastor, as a student, a banker, a parent in the playground, a carer in the home, a volunteer in the library, whatever it is you do, there might be personal sacrifices involved in the giving of yourself, but you do small things for the sake of the kingdom of God, to bring the reality of God's kingdom in some way, however small, now. And praying for God's will to be done, well, that can change you, and it can bring you really close to Christ himself. Do you know, let's remember, this is a prayer, the Lord's Prayer that he gave us. It's one that he prayed. And a disciple of a religious leader in his day, you spent time with a religious leader in order to be like them. And so his followers were given the prayer so they could pray what he prayed. So when we pray, we're coming close to Jesus. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We're so close to him. And you'll remember just before Easter, if you were here as we were going through Luke's gospel, coming towards the end, and that most stressful point in Jesus' ministry when he prayed in a garden called Gethsemane. Luke 22, Father, if you are willing, take this cup of suffering from me, all this terrible pain that's about to happen, take it from me. And he says, yet not my will, but yours be done. As we pray the words Jesus taught us, as we wrap our own prayers around it, there are times where we say, oh, I submit, yet not my will, but yours be done in this, Lord. You wrestle and you wrestle and you come to that point. And you're close to Christ as you do that. I think it's William Barclay, the pastor and theologian, who says, you know, it's not reluctant resignation. Oh, not my will, but yours be done. And it's not, you know, it's not just fate. And neither should we say it with bitter resentment that you're having to let go of your will. You know, he says, yet not my will, but yours be done, can be said in perfect trust and love for God. That's how we can say it. A submission of my will, my heart, my life to God. For God is loving and God is wise. So there we have it. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Heaven on earth type praying. It means sensing that deep unease at how things are when they're not right. Yet that firm, buoyant hope that in Christ and his goodness, things can be changed. And so we pray with longing and authority. And we find our lives changing, and I'll let go of this for the sake of the King and his kingdom. I lay down my will for yours. I don't know how your soul is. We thought about that, didn't we, at the start? And how full it is to overflowing. But may God fill us with himself. And may we in the process know his kingdom values, his will. And may we see more and more and more on earth as it is in heaven. My heart's prayer is, God, change me. Change my prayers. Fill me with yourself and your spirit that I might pray more in line, aligned with you, and see your power flowing. What's your prayer? I said we're going to take some time just to pray now. I'm going to lift up a few different areas of life. Some maybe I've mentioned already, actually. If I was really clever, I would have put something on the screen, but I'm obviously not in the right church stream to have thought of that. But I just thought, if I'm praying, when I pause and say, "Oh, Father in heaven," you can just join in if you want to. Your own longing, your kingdom come, your will be done. So when I pray, "Oh, Father in heaven," you pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." Got that? Your kingdom come, your will be done. Great. I'm sorry I didn't put it on the screen. Father, we come to pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray in your name that is always to be worshipped and honored. We lift up to you the parts of the world where disease threatens the life of many people. We think especially of the Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo right now. We lift up to you those affected by the hantavirus as well. We lift up to you people who suffer or are at risk of losing their lives through disease which can be prevented. We pray with longing. Oh, Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done. We ask you to pray. We ask you to bring an end to conflict between nations. Bless the peacemakers. Prosper those who work for a just and lasting outcome. And anybody who is working against a just and lasting outcome, may they be unsuccessful. May their words just fall to the ground empty. We lift up to you particular places on our hearts and minds. We lift up to you Ukraine and Russia. Iran and the United States of America. Israel and Hezbollah. Other places of conflict we lift to you as well. We pray with longing. Oh, Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done. We pray with urgency for our government and all in opposition. We pray for those who lead political parties at this time. We pray for those seeking to be a leader of a political party or those wanting to bring change. Have mercy on us, Lord, as a nation. Bring what is right and true and reflects your kingdom to the fore. In all of this, would you be sovereign in all the processes, all the actions, for the flourishing of those who have the least in our communities? Oh, Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done. Whether there are acts of violence or discrimination towards those of any faith within our communities, we pray that the right to live and express faith will be protected in this land. We pray also for the local Jewish community to be able to meet, worship, live and move free from acts of violence and terror. Oh, Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done. We pray for this church. As we seek to know, worship, and represent Jesus in the local area, lead us, we pray at this time. Lead us as we seek a second pastor. Unite us around your purposes, your vision for us. Open our minds to discern what it is that you are saying to us. We seek you. Oh, Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done. We pray for those who don't yet know Jesus, those who live near to us, work alongside us, those who are part of this worshiping community, those we haven't seen, those who've been part of Alpha. We pray for family members, a spouse, or a partner who doesn't yet know Jesus. A child, a friend who needs him. Open minds, open hearts to the wonderful truth that sets people free. Fill their longing souls with the knowledge of your presence and your grace and your mercy. Oh, Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done. And we pray that in our own lives. Oh, Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done. We lift all these prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.